Luke 24. Verse 25 to 27. Law and the prophets. All fools are slow. He said unto them, all fools are slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? 27. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, remember, we looked at the word daimenu, which is from amis, to interpret words, to translate words. So, we said Jesus focused on words. Now, don't forget that there were actions too that were spoken of in scriptures. But this particular study was about words, things that were said, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And so that's why we canceled out angels. Was it the day before? That we removed angels from the equation. Was it the day before? Alright, so we took away angels, you know, from this, you know, and which of the angels said he at any time? You are my son. They removed angels, not just angels are the things they said. In fact, the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 2 says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, we see the just recompense of the word. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So the angels were ministers for them who shall be heirs of salvation. They were not messengers of salvation. They were messengers for the heirs of salvation. They were not messengers of salvation. And that's very clear in how we studied it the other time. Now, notice what Jesus said later in verse 44. He says, these are the words which I spoke unto while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And we said the word fulfilled is where you have pleroma in the instance of something that is filled up. So, what would have in the Old Testament, and listen carefully, will be unfulfilled statements. Unfulfilled statements, unfulfilled promises. We said we are going to see there will be a gap. Remember that? A gap to be filled. Okay? A gap to be filled. The truth is the same. But what you're going to have in their statements will be unfulfilled statements. Or we can call it incomplete. When you say the polumeros and the polutropos, they are incomplete things. The Amplified calls it a partial revelation. It's there. We leave it that way. You know, I'm still wondering whether I'll ever get around a translation, because I keep critiquing even the things I submit to myself. I'm wondering whether I'll ever get one, because I keep critiquing it, that can we actually use the word partial revelation? But it's nice for communication. So, let's stay with Amplified Translation, partial, that is, it's not complete. It is the truth, but it's not complete. You know, that's what we said yesterday. That it's the truth. The polumeros, it's in Hebrews 1:1, but it's not complete. So, there was a fulfillment to be done in Christ. And so, he picked out the prophets and the Psalms. Now, look at 1 Peter 1:10. We were there yesterday. Searching what? Now change that for me. For 1:11. Searching who? Can you remember? Searching who or what manner of time or what opportunity, which refers to event. So, it's now Christ and what he did. Of course, the previous verse tells you who Christ and what are the events, the sufferings of Christ and the glory. So the who is Christ, the what, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Is that very clear? Okay, so the searching there is to bring out, to look for and bring out. So it's not just to look for, there's a looking for and bringing out. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit testifying of Christ, sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Now, yesterday we looked at the word heed. Let's examine it a little bit again. You know, we said that light does not hide. Can you remember that? So, light doesn't hide. So, if God is light, He cannot hide. Neither does He do shadows. Light doesn't hide. So get that to Colossians 1:26. Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1:26. The mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations now made manifest and says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? That's hid in the light. That's interesting. That is, this information is hid in the light. Ephesians 3. That's what figure of speech. What do you call that? To hide in the light. What's it? Oxymoron. Is that true? Is that a paradox? Is it a paradox? It looks like a paradox. To hide in the light. You know what I'm talking about. You know when it's oxymoron, it's two words together. It won't be like, it's, you know, hide in the light. No. It's grammar. Let's leave that. So, this is like a paradox. Hide in the light in what instance? So, it's going to be relative. Hear this. Ephesians 3, verse 9. Which had been hid in God. Hid in God. So, when you say hid in God, you say it's the word apokrypto. Apokrypto means a way in, a way from, a way to. Crypto means to keep. Remember that. Can you get it? Can you remember this? So that's why we established the word crypto. It means to be kept. So it is kept where? In the light. It's kept in the light. So it definitely means that you can only know it by light. Or by revelation. You know, that's the paradox part. By revelation. It's kept in the light. Get back to 2 Peter 1:19. As the light that shineth. So, that means in the Old Testament, the mystery was light. Are you there? That's another paradox, right? The mystery was light. Shineth. As like the day dawn, as the day star, arise in your heart. So, imagine something is called mystery. And what it was in the Old Testament was what? Light. Because you cannot call unbelief or the ignorance of men light. That has to be darkness. Do you get it? So, in human terms, it will look like the light is the hidden thing and the darkness is the revealed thing. But when we call it that, in the wisdom of God, the wisdom of men is destroyed. In the wisdom of men, the wisdom of God is foolishness. Do you understand that? You know, that's another figure of speech. The wisdom of God is called, like the weakness of God is stronger than men. As though there's a weakness. The wisdom of God is foolish with men. So, in human terms, it will be called hidden, but it's not hidden. It's actually revealed, but hidden in darkness. Hidden to darkness, but hidden in the light. So, he calls it the light that shines as the dark place. As the day star, day dawn, the day star arise in your heart. So, the focus will be the heart of man. Let's see something now, quickly. John 1:3. All things were made by him,
Without him was anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. It now says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. So, honestly, we are talking about the state of man's heart, and the darkness comprehends it not. 1 John 1:5, we declare unto you that God is light, and in him is what? No darkness at all. Now, when you say darkness, that means there is nothing hidden. Is that very clear? So you see, we are playing with, it's a play of words. There's nothing hidden. In him is no darkness at all. And so you can't have shadows in God, because the word shadow is the word skia, or from the word skoto, where you have dark, darkened. You can't see it. So, carefully look at this. It says the darkness could not comprehend. Now look at the word comprehend. Now, where is the darkness here? Is the darkness in the sky, in the spirit realm, or in the heart of men? Good. So the darkness could not comprehend it. Look at the word comprehend. It's the word katalambano, which means to lay hold of something. No, lambano means to receive, to lay hold of something. Mark 9:18. It takes him and tearing him to lay hold of. John 8:3. To be caught. So John 8:3, and they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, or caught. Verse 4. This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. To be taken a hold of, they caught her. So now look at the word, and darkness could not lay hold. So can we express darkness in unbelief? Unbelief, okay? Can it also be man's highfalutin intelligence? Okay. He could not lay hold of it. So, did this light shine in the Old Testament? Very good. It's the light of men. John 12:35. So he came to the world. Just a little while is light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. That is, the receive of you. Now look at, you know, since he came to his own received him not. He came to the world, though the world was made by him, and the world did not know. But it wasn't a closed circuit. Verse 12, but as many as what? Received. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that what? Believe. So, the way will have, the answer is to what? Believe. John 1:12. So, we'll say that the wisdom of God was hid where? In the light. And can we say hid from darkness? Is that a good expression? Hid where? In the light. From where? Darkness. So, 1 Peter 1 again. Okay, we testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow up. Or we said the word promatura, romai, which means to say it before it happened.
go back to Romai, to say before it happened. Now let's say 12. 12 is, so we'll pay attention a bit more. 12. Unto whom it was revealed, unto whom it was revealed, it's safer to say, that not unto themselves, look at this, but unto us did it minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, with things the angels have delivered to you. Now, notice this. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed. That it doesn't flow. Because verse 11 is talking about who? Huh? What did they testify? Huh? Huh? Uh-uh. There's a what and there's a when. So who are they testifying of? Very good. The when will be the sufferings and the glory. So, if you read 12, it will be of whom, that is, they revealed Christ. Because the word there is apokalupto. Whom they revealed, not themselves, that is, they were not speaking of themselves. So, is whom they revealed, but not themselves. They revealed unto us the womb, but not themselves. Does it flow like that? Huh? Whom they revealed, but not themselves. That is, he's saying to you that they were not revealing themselves, but Christ. Well, he had used the word to testify, to signify, to search, and it was a what and who, sorry, who and what, or event. So, it is that was now revealed, not themselves. So, what he's doing in 12 is separating these prophecies from things they said about themselves. Not about themselves, but they revealed Christ. That's the Old Testament prophet. Whom they did minister these things to, which are now reported unto you. They served it. And now, or the word reported is the word anagelo. A-N-A-G-E-L-L-O. A-N-A-G-E-L-L-O. It means to make known something. Now let's see something peculiar about this word. Reported to you. By them that have preached the gospel unto you. So he calls the preaching of the gospel a report. A report of the revelation of the prophets. He calls that a report of the revelation of the prophets. Look at this word. John 4:25. I want you to notice the use of this word. Anagelo. John 4:25. At the well. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, that is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Then John 16, verse 13. Keep your eyes on this. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. He will show you things to come. Verse 14. He shall not glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he will take of mine and show unto you. Obviously, this is something that will be done through men, eventually.
Sinless. In John 20 verse 20, Paul used the same word. I kept back what that was profitable unto you, but showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house. Verse 27. To declare unto you all the counsel of God. So, 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which you have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, have you seen the word anagelo is like a secondary report? Like someone says what someone else has said, or someone else has done. Now, by using this word, it means that those who preach the gospel are preaching from something somebody has said. Who reported unto you? So you can see that the epistles are firmly rooted where? Huh? In the prophets. Firmly rooted there. So this truth is kept in the light, or hid in the light. So it says you have revealed them unto babes. So the moment you are a babe, it's revealed to you. So that means it's an attitude issue. And that's what Nicodemus was grappling with. Said, thou art a great teacher, a teacher come from God, for no man doeth this miracle except God with him. Said, very rarely I say unto you, in case you think, you know, this is the ruler of the Jews, so the guy is intelligent. You know, he knows the law. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And you see, by this guy's next question, you knew why he needed to be born again. Ah, very intelligent Jewish teacher. Is it possible for a man to enter his mother's womb second and be born? You didn't get what I'm saying. Except a man is born of the water, refers to the spirit, he cannot enter. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That is born of the spirit is spirit. And the guy is still looking. And he's saying nothing. He said, if you are speaking of earthly things and you are still trying to grapple it, what if we speak of heavenly things? The man just was looking. So the real issue is the state of the man. It's not hidden, it's the state of a man. Just like Jesus said that is fulfilled in them, that prophecy of Isaiah. Hearing they don't hear, seeing they didn't see. You know? So obviously, the issue with God's revelation over the ages has not been God. God is light, in whom is no darkness at all. So whether in the reception of the truth in the Old Testament or in the communication, it still deals with man, the state of man. So when you have partial truth given by the prophet, it's because it's the light that shineth as in a dark place. Are you following this? You are following this? In a dark place. So it's imagined. In the way it emerged, you will see the light piercing through darkness. So you have distorted statements. Are you following this? In the same brain. Let's look at an example. Let's look at the number one man. Who is the senior prefect of all the prophets? Let's call him greatest prophet John. Because you can't call him a prophet again. Jesus said, he's more than prophet. He's the greatest prophet. You know. He says, and the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Imagine he was right. He's going to write that. He's going to say, his shoes
I'm not even worthy to untie. Did I baptize with water? And you'll see that written in it. You'll say, ah! There's something about baptizing with water. See how people till date are still following what he did. He didn't write any book. I baptized with water. Is it not in the Bible? Is it not in the Bible? A prophet of God baptized with water. He said, but he that comes after me will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. And then the question was like, who sent him to baptize? I've explained this to you before. What was his work? Huh? His work was to preach what Christ will do to cleanse man, right? Baptize man with the Holy Ghost. Okay? So, what he was doing in Jordan was to what? Explain it in human terms. So you can see the light piercing through the darkness. Are you following? Yet, if he wrote a book, it's very likely that people will skip the things he said about Christ and stay with the water. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, let's proceed further. He now says, behold the Lamb of God. He said, wonderful things. This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. He will have written that in his letter. We call it the clearest revelation of the prophet. Then much later, you will have also seen him go to Herod and start talking about Herod's affair. It will be written. So it's very likely that you will now do a study. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. You now do a study on Herod and his wife. You can do a series on it. How not to be a Herod. And it will be written. But you know, you will have lost something out. The key thing, the light there will be hid. Sorry. The truth will be hid in the light. But your mind, men rather love darkness than light. Can you remember that? John 3:18-19. And Jesus was saying that about his sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Don't think he's talking about men love corruption and hate. That's not what he's talking about. Men love corruption and hate they give bribe. No, that's not what he's saying. Now, imagine the same John is now in jail. Okay? Same John. Then he now is writing. We ask of thee, O Lord, are you the one to come? Or should we expect another? The same person. So, look at the same fellow saying, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Full stop. And with fire! Do you get it? So, depending on you, you can pick that fire and write a book and ignore what he has said about Christ. This is the greatest prophet. And it will even give you more challenges, because in all his anger and rage, he didn't kill anybody. When I say kill, you know what I'm talking about. In all his anger and rage, but it was one that was killed. In all his anger and rage, you know, and interestingly, he didn't work any miracles. So you were not as wounded. Imagine it was Elijah. Look how Elijah, he has very strong, staunch followers. Staunch. The God of Elijah. The Elijah of God. I preached a sermon years ago. Stop asking for the God of Elijah. You need the Elijahs of God. I heard it from Jezebel. Amen. I'll talk about prayer. You know? And I added the other ones too. Now, where is Baal in this generation? You know, you can. Let's leave that. So, imagine that fellow writing a book. It will be the day dawn to the day star. Do you understand? That is the greatest prophet. Are you following what I'm saying here? So that means, just like John's words, the revelation of Christ will be scattered. His was the clearest. You can even call his own, his partial revelation, but his partialest, partialer, give me grammar. It was more, no grammar. But you know, his was a better partial revelation. You get it? So, imagine, now, if John was like that, how do you want to now read Isaiah? Jonah. See Jonah. Salvation is of the Lord. He first, what do you want to go? He now got to the salvation of the Lord. They that observe lying vanity forsake their own mercy. Excellent sermon. The next day, like the days dawn. So, you get my point? So, you just like Abraham, he believed God. But that's not all he was doing. There were many things that he did not believe. The apostles excluded those things. So he just said, Abraham believed God. As though it was only two lines or one chapter about him. This is a guy that was in 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. And he just said, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. He did many things though, but Abraham believed God. The little the writer of Hebrews just pointed out in honor, it is a problem. Hebrews 7. How he honored the Christian again. It has become a doctrine. Historical fact. See, that's what do you think the Lord is saying there? The Lord is saying nothing. You see, Melchizedek. Okay, who is Melchizedek? Is it not Christ, Christophany, or Theophany? No, it's Theophilus. Just like that. Something that was said there, made like unto. I told the fellow, I said, let people ask, is this a type of shadow? He said, yes. He said, type of shadow? Yes. He said, yes. So why can't we allow the type to be type of shadow? He said, no. That one is literal. Jokes apart. So imagine, that scenario. They excluded all the, as it were, irrelevant information. Now, who calls it irrelevant? All the secondary information. The primary thing was Abraham believed God. In that faith shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Consistently picked out. You won't find any other thing so emphasized. And that belief, that many times? Once. Deep. So, imagine, and Abraham also was a prophet. We can go on and on and on. You see consistently that there was light, but that light was shining in darkness. Is it clear now? Is it clear? So it wasn't absolute ignorance, no. There was insight. It was just incomplete. Alright? And needed to be taught. That's what we said, the word mysterion yesterday, is that it is to be what? Taught. Very good. So, it's kept in the light. John 1:12. As many as received him, I think I've said that already, to them gave he the power, to them, to call sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So, from Genesis to Malachi, what's the key to knowing God? Faith. Faith. It's faith that now sharpens or shapens your intelligence. Faith. I was talking to someone, and we're talking about, we're talking about Trinity, so we now say something. And I said, look, you have to first of all realize that you are a believer. You are first a believer. This one that you are trying to reason things like you are an anointed philosopher. We are reasoning what we have believed. You get the point? You are a believer. Stop Yeah, you know, doesn't look. I said, it's the wisdom of men that's disturbing you. You are a believer. So, first of all, you have believed. So we are now studying what we have believed. Now, see this. So we said the word mysteries from the word muheo, M-U-E-O, Musterion, M-U-S-T-R-I-O, and we said that yesterday. It is to be said, it is to be clarified or declared in speaking. Let's notice something in words. Always look at accompanying words when you see a term. You see the accompanying words. Romans, okay. Let's see Mark 4. Matthew 13. We're going to run through some scriptures. Make some observation. Make your own notes. Verse 10. Why speaks thou in parables? Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God or heaven. Can we say to know the explanation? To know what is to be explained in the kingdom of God. That's why those Greek scholars would call the word mysterion to be initiated or for the initiated or for explanation. Mark 4, 11, the same thing. Mark 4, 11. Luke 8, 10. We run through this yesterday. It's just for consistent emphasis. Now see Romans 16. Verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest by what? By the scriptures of the prophets. What are the scriptures of the prophet? The Old Testament. First Corinthians 2:7, we speak wisdom in a mystery. So have you been discovering that in every time the word mystery is made, you said either the word speaking or the word known is attached to it? Good. First Corinthians 4:1, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. He speaks mysteries. First Corinthians 15, 1. I show you a mystery. Can it be, I show you an explanation? Right? An explanation. Good. So embedded in the word mysterion is the fact that it is to be explained or it requires explanation. It's not mysterious. It just shows that it's to be explained or it is explained. Again, Ephesians 1, verse 9, to have been made known unto us the mystery of his will. Ephesians 3, my knowledge, verse 4, in the mystery of Christ. Verse 3, made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote at 4 in few words. Verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to make them know. So the word mystery has never been used without adding the word no. No.
Okay. Ephesians again, 5:32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So,
is it a great mystery that we can't see, or an explanation about Christ and the church?
Good.
So look at the word but. Old English. You can say whereas or thus, but that's what the King James could use then. But. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not opposite. This is a great mystery. Referring to what? Christ and the church.
I speak again. Ephesians 6:19. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel.
So the word mystery confers on the fact that it is being what? Preached. It's being explained. It's being taught. Are you there? Are you following this? So, the Old Testament is what was taught or explained in the epistles. Is that good? Is that an absolute statement? Huh?
Okay.
Again, let's get back to a few things we said. That the Christocentric truths of the Old Testament are specific. They are not universal. It's not everything you see there is about Christ. I thought that is clear enough, right? Just that everything John the Baptist said was not about Christ. Okay? And you know what he said about Herod? We'll see something in a moment. Wasn't bad. I mean, it's good to say, a king, you should not be doing this. It's a bad example. You know, it's good counsel, good preaching, good exhortation, good rebuke, but it is not the truth about Christ. And you'll find that a lot of times in the Old Testament. So, by saying sundry times and diverse manners, why did we have sundry times and diverse manners? Because they did not have the spirit of truth. Who will guide you into what? All. So, by John 16:13, it contrasts with the Old Testament. Right? Come on. All of the truth. So, what we'll have before then will be the truth in bits and pieces. But in the spirit of the truth, what are we going to have? All of the truth. It's like putting a jigsaw puzzle and putting it all together. That's the spirit of truth. Is it very clear? All of the truth. Now, all of the truth about nations. Huh? All of the truth about Christ. Matthew 22:43 again. So imagine a David as king. He knew he was not the king. Are you following this? He knew it. He knew he wasn't the king. He knew the king was a promise. But just like man, they set up a kingdom. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Is that not the very end point of David? He said, it's not of this world. The kingdom is not of this world. How? Can't you see? Even when he rose from the dead, the disciples were still saying, when will you restore again? See the wisdom of man conflicting. So, if people who saw Jesus are still talking about coup d'etat, what do you think those then would have been saying? You can't say at that point they did not understand. He had just done a 40-day series on the kingdom of God. Things concerning the kingdom. They had believed though. They are preachers. And yet they say, Lord, this is beautiful. Wow. So not many decisions are better than those. Yeah, praise God. Can I ask a question? Have you ever heard that before? Can I ask a question? You'll be like, so sad. So I've been blessed in my ministry. And we are so glad for living with me to have a grateful. I know where I say what you want to say. So glad. In fact, I just finished with the book. Hyper Grace was so blessed. I read that time. My God. However, sir, that's where you are going. Where would you restore the kingdom to Israel? So you can imagine Israel in their minds. They just heard all nations, every creature, and it's Israel. It takes a while. These are men who saw him. He said, blessed are your eyes that see this thing. As blessed are their eyes were and their ears. See what they said. So imagine the travail in Isaiah. Imagine the travail in Jonah. They are not blaming Elijah. Imagine the travail. You get it? But the truth about the matter is that faith is enough. It's not faith. Faith in. Faith. So, scattered in man's ideas, faith in Christ, or man's ideas, his knowledge of God, faith in Christ, and then even the judgment of unbelief, which we might not be able to look at today, I'll find a series to put that in, will be the Old Testament. So imagine that's what the book is about. You see the book. The promises of God, said by the same man, the opinion of man, said by the same man, in the same books. Hallelujah. That's what the Old Testament is. So, Matthew 22, right? No, I told you over somewhere. Okay, 43. 43. How then does David in spirit call him Lord? We'll check this later. Again, Jesus cherry picks. Remember how he wrote, he went to the temple and then he read Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all eyes were fastened on him. Do you know, he can't read every scripture like that. Are you following this? He cannot read every scripture like that. In fact, we saw it in Matthew 12. He was curing a scripture by using parables to cure what the prophecy had said, that in them is fulfilled, the saying of Isaiah. So, he opened to places that pointed to him. But not all scripture points to him. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. There are specific things. Overwhelming true, but not all. Look at 1 Corinthians 10.
Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Notice the word admonition. Obviously what he said here, in this instance, he said they were examples for admonition. Now, I'll plead that you listen to, is it explaining the Old Testament? World Leaders Conference, right? That's the title. Last one. Yeah. So that you see how the Old Testament was used. So this is going to make sense to you. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. Let's look at that verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, is this scripture, from what we have studied before, is this scripture about the wisdom of man? The state of the wisdom of man. That's it. I have not seen, he has not heard, neither the heart of man. Is he referring to the wisdom of God, where the wisdom of God is hidden? Wisdom of man, sorry. Is verse 9 the state of the wisdom of man? I'm asking a question. Okay. So, verse 8 then makes sense. For are they known it? Because what they had, the prince of this world, what they had is the wisdom of God. And as long as there's the wisdom of man, the eyes of the wisdom of man will not see it. The ears of the wisdom of man will not hear it. And the heart of the wisdom of man will not conceive it. It is only given by what? The Spirit. It's only revealed. Referring to the Old Testament again. So this is by revelation. And revelation is light. So revelation is not what hides. Revelation is what reveals. So that means the truth of God is hidden in revelation. Is hidden in light. So Jesus will fulfill the light of the Old Testament. He is the light of the Old Testament that shines in the darkness. He is the light. Look at John 19. Before John 19, Luke 24, 44. These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. All things. So, all things about him. In John 19, I think we read one when he talked about the prophecy of Daniel, that when those days come, just make sure you don't fulfill it. Can you remember that? John 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things are now accomplished, all these things, or specific things, that's the word past. Can you remember past? Okay. That the scriptures must be fulfilled. Now look at the word. He used two words here, teleo twice, one is telestai, to pay off, to finish off, must be fulfilled. Referring to scriptures that talks about his suffering. Whatever he's referring to here is not his glory, it's his suffering. So verse 30, it is finished, or it is completed. Again, he's yet to talk about his glory. He's still referring to his sufferings. So in the words of the prophet, this is fulfilled.
He can't say it is fulfilled. I've been raised from the dead. He's about to die. So when you hear fulfilled, what was fulfilled? Not all the scriptures, specific scriptures about Christ. There are things that are still being fulfilled today. For example, the prophecy of Isaiah that says hearing they cannot hear, seeing they cannot see. Is it still being fulfilled?
Yes.
When you go on evangelism, can't you see it fulfilled? Huh?
I know.
But the sufferings of Christ and His glory are before they have been fulfilled. Which is the message of the church. Specific things. Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, who has believed our report, what Shemua, believe is the word aman, to say the gospel. Who has believed our report? So, it zeroed in there on Christ. He bore our infirmities, some of the people by stripes were healed, all we like sheep have gone astray, thought every man to his own will, Lord, let him go us all. So, he mentions all that. Prophecy. And then he speaks concerning events. Amidst other things. There were things he would say about the nation in those days. That's not about Christ. In the midst of all that, there will now be the promises of God, which will have nothing to do with things he has said earlier. Are you following what I'm saying here? Nothing. Like I said, imagine if John wrote a book. And it says, oh, you brood of vipers, who warned you of the wrath to come? Then, as this was here coming, they don't just come. Who told you to come here? You must bring forth fruit, meat unto repentance. Actually, what is he looking for? Fruit, meat unto repentance. Then now says, behold the Lamb that takes away sin of the world. Look at the contradiction. Fruit, meat, brood of Bible. Who has warned you? Who told you of the wrath to come? Same thing. So if you wrote a book, you see the two things there. You can't say he did not preach faith. You heard him just preach faith. Just like Moses. Who shall ascend to heaven to bring down Christ? It was Moses that said it. Who shall ascend to the deep to bring down Christ? Said the word is nigh thee. In your heart, in your mouth. Paul now said, that is the word of faith that we preach. Yet, after saying that, he will now say, write this. Who is inside it into that? So, you will find those two things in their letters. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, was every prophet, that would be strong. Were the prophets preachers of faith? Were they faith preachers? Was John the Baptist a faith preacher? Was he also a preacher of other things? Or he had other remnants that he was preaching? Look at Psalm 1 verse 1. Hope you are learning something. Blessed is the man. I know someone will like that scripture. I do too. That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the sinners. Sorry, stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's serious. Imagine you now taking this scripture and going after the law of Moses to meditate, not just day and night. You now say you want to prosper. So, How useful is this?
Listen carefully.
Joshua 1:8. This book of the law. What we have done to that verse. Shall not depart out of. A guy told me that he believes that is God's. He called it a Satan. He said, God's joker for prosperity. Come, I won't beat you. I said, what is this book of the law? He said, the Bible. I said, no. Genesis is not even part of it. Exodus. Most of it is not part of it. Say, sir, you have prosperity. We now saw the book of the law. Shall not depart out of your mouth. I said, you don't even know it. So if departing out of your mouth is not the question, you don't even know it. It has not even entered your mouth. So forget meditating day and night. You don't even have what to meditate upon. He said to observe, to do all. When you now enter the epistle, he said, by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified. Observe to do all that is written. That's a heavy demand. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous and have good success. You now have the good success. And forget, observe to do all. You think the all is sowing seed? He's not talking about sowing seed though. When you look at some of the sisters here, and brothers, your clothes has how many cotton, linen? You want to prosper. But something we need there, and this is how to use the Old Testament. Are you there? Even when it is not Christocentric. 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, meditate on these things. Upon these things, give yourself wholly unto them. The word there is the word meletao. M-E-L-E-T-A-O. M-E-L-E-T-A-O. Meletao. Is here you have the word, please pay attention here. Acts 4:25. Acts 4:25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Why do people rage and the people imagine vain things? The word imagine there is the same word melital. Now, melital is presumably taken from the word melo, which is to care for. Alright? When you care for something, you are concerned about something. Let's run through the text. Matthew 22:16, Melo. Mark 4:38. Mark 12:14. Luke 10:40. Matthew 22:16. Mark 4:38. Mark 12:14. Luke 10:40. John 10:13. John 12:6. John 12:6. Acts 18:17. Again, Mark 12:14, Luke 10:40, John 10:13, John 12:6, Acts 18:17, 1 Corinthians 7:21, 1 Corinthians 7:21, 1 Corinthians 9:9, to care for. That is when you are concerned and you think over something a while. So now the word melital, again, you know, we say it's Acts 4:25. You know, Acts 4:25 is an Old Testament text. Psalm 2:1. Psalm 2:1. Why do the heathen rage and the people meditate on a vain thing? It is not against them meditating, because he has said, that's the same word meditate. It's the same word for meditate in Psalm 1.
Verse 3, verse 2, meditate day and night. He said they have set themselves against the Lord and against the anointed. Again, this is a prophetic statement. Are you following it? About Jesus. So he had mentioned meditate earlier, and this is here again. So we find the negative one in Psalm 2, the positive one in Psalm 1. And it's the same word in Joshua 1:8. Agar, H-A-G-A-H. Agar. So, if I take Psalm 1, I will practice, it's an instruction to meditate, but I'm not meditating upon the law. Are you following this? So, I can take the Old Testament and reference it as a book of instruction of things that I'm already taught in the epistles. Just like I'm taught to meditate. The law also teaches to meditate. So I reference. But in doing that, I'm careful to say, I'm not meditating on the law. I'm meditating on God's word. This is what Brother Hagin says it. That we know we are not under the law. So we'll say Psalm 1, verse 2. Meditating upon God's word day and night. Or, better still, observe to do all that is in therein. No. Observe to act upon God's word. So, I will not be talking about the law. I'll be talking about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying here? That is a wise man with the Old Testament. Do you get it? Do you understand it? So, they are not primary truths, but they are of secondary application. Is it very clear what we're saying? Is it very clear what we're saying? They are primary truths. I won't take it and say I'm going after the law, but I will take the acts of meditation from Psalm 1. So, I will meditate on Christ. So, what I'm going to learn from there, I'm not learning Christ from that scripture, but I'm learning what? Meditation. I'm not learning Christ, but I'm learning meditation. Day and night. No, Paul says, give yourself wholly unto them. Same thing. Wholly unto them. That thy profiting may appear unto all. So, good success, to me, will be spiritual growth. Is it making sense? Alright. I gave just one example. I will learn prayer from the Old Testament, but not their words of prayer, but the act of prayer. Is it very clear? Huh? You know, look at how James says it. James says that Elijah was a man of like passions. He prayed that the earth, that there would be no rain. He prayed again and there was rain. But you know, the context of saying that was that we should pray for one another. So, I have learned the art of prayer from Elijah, but not the words of it. Let me see how you understand it. Do you understand it? The art of prayer, but not the words of it. I remember somebody put something out on Facebook, and the guy was, you know these emojis. So, he was now talking about that, don't call your husband. You know, the way we say in Nigeria, but this daddy. Don't do that. That have pet names. That's it. You have to understand that God, you know, if you are stopped there, and I just say it's a gist. You know, I say, God doesn't call us this, God calls us, and I say, God's come. That actually, if you read scripture very well, Peter said, you follow Sarah's example. Who called her husband Curious? No pet name. Say, oh. I said, and he says, as Christ is the head of the church. Now that's lordship. Certainly. Now, he didn't ask me for that. You know, I think I've told this before. You know, you are just ignored it. Eh? Pet name, city, city. It's good. But scripture says Lord. These are the areas who are doing some new exegesis, sir. But if we look at it in context,
if we look at the syntax and the protag bros is Lord. You know, but the point is that we don't learn that aspect of submission. You get it? We just learn it. But we are submitting in the fear of the Lord and in love. So, in our carefulness, right, we take prayer. Oh, wonderful. They prayed. You get it? But we don't use their words of prayer. Who's getting what I'm saying here? We take their prayer. We take their, you know how to use Lord. You know, but the essence is to be respectful. Okay? And then I said, now say, Lord. Lord. Lord, tell me. No. It's just it's the respect part that you just understand. Okay? So I learned prayer from them. Amen. Just like, you know, the issue of deacons. You can see that, I think I taught you that, that they took it from Moses. What Jethro told you, that, bros, you can see that you are aging. You will die. Some things is God talking to you in common sense. You will die. There was a doctor that told me, said, you have to stay bed rest. I said, I have a convention, I have a conference, I have a camp with you. Let me finish. He said, if you step out of it, I will do with my exegesis. He said, you will die. You know? I looked at him and he was frank. You know, doctors are they can be very heartless. And it's for your good. Say, you die. I mean, you do. Say, somebody else will take that conclusion. I said, it's true. It's true. You are making sense. You get the point. You're making sense. So, the reality is this. You know, they took that from the issue of duty. When he said, look for among yourselves seven men that may appoint over this business. Moses had done it before. These are not prophets. You remember Moses picked some folks who just took care of natural things. They now picked another set who were prophesying. So they had done it before. But you know the point? Whilst they took those examples, they did not take their message. Do you get what I'm saying at all? It's the same way the church. You know the church? Church gathering is just like Israel. They came out and they congregate. But we are not doing what Israel was doing. Are you following what I'm saying at all? Uh-huh. So, the message is the issue. The revelation of Christ will be the issue. So I say, well, let me give you this instance. I'd rather be in the day in the course of the Lord than 1,000 years, the end of the weekend. I'd rather be a servant in the house of God than be in the house of the wicked. Say, no, we don't do that anymore. We are now the house of God. Come. Paul says, know how you behave yourself in the church, which is the house of God. Individually, we are house of God, but please be coming to house of God. Do you understand what we're saying? So you take that and say, what is David saying? That, you know, I'd rather be fellowshipping with people of God. Are you following my point? So if you teach the truth about believers coming together in the epistles, you can reference that, but as a secondary application. Do you understand? I'm teaching you Bible teaching. Do you get my point? As secondary application. But you can't teach that as the truth. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Because you already have all of the truth in the epistles. Is it clear? So, you can see that even the things that were not Christocentric, we don't waste them. We just carefully adopt the instructions and the practices as they promote, teach, and affirm the Lordship of Christ. Are you there? Are you following this?
So we follow Elijah till with his prayer life, no more. We think, we meditate, you know. Let's quickly look at some very vital texts. Hope you are learning something. Psalm 2. Verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou my son, this day have I begotten thee. This day have I begotten thee. Now, this is a text that was used by Paul in Acts 13, verse 33. God has fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up just again, written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Hebrews 1, verse 5. This is how God, I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. Hebrews 5:5. That my son today have I begotten thee. Now look at the essence of that statement. Hebrews 2:10. It became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. So that statement, was it about the incarnation or the resurrection? Huh? Very good. Now, the resurrection will be for what? Identification. That is why this is the scripture amongst others, but primary, that where the firstborn from the dead, that truth was taken from. Prototokos. Look at Hebrews 2:10. Came in for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Look at the word many sons. So, from that truth, he is the prototokos. Many sons to glory. Referring to his resurrection. So, this day there refers to the time of resurrection. Look at Psalm 8 verse 4. So, are we agreed that the most quoted prophet is who now? See, we change. So, is it David? Not Isaiah. No, we like David. Psalm 8. O Lord, my God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of the beast and the serpents, thou hast ordained strength. Call thy enemies, that thou my stealeth the enemy and the avenger. The babes and sufferings here, literal or figurative, for what? Faith. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, thou hast ordained. What is man? Now, the question there is, when he says what is man, it's actually an interrogative pronoun, used 745 times. It's a question. Is the word maha, M-A-H, or M-A, or M-E-H? In the Hebrew, M-A-H, M-A or M-E-H. It's used 745 times. It's for the word why. Genesis 2:19. To see what he will call them. That Adam. Then Genesis 3:13. What is it that you have done? It's a question. Then Genesis 4:6. Why are you wrong? Why is thy countenance fallen? This is a question. So, now, every time that question is used before now, this one here, is either a direct question or interrogative. That is, in finding something out, or rhetorical. What have you done? I've seen what you have done. Okay? So, what have you just done here now? You know, I'm not asking a question. So, what is man that you are mindful of him? So,
The issue will now be, you are mindful of man. Are you getting this? The issue is not asking why, it's actually stating that he is mindful of man. Not the son of man that will visit him. So, it is a fact that you are mindful of man and you visit man, but it is not explained. Is it clear? Is it clear? So, that leaves us with what? A mystery. It is not explained. It's a mysterion. So, if does it fall into the polutropos and polumeros? In diverse manners, diverse times. You get it? So, you will need to explain that statement. Are you following what I say here? Because David, who said it, is a prophet. So, was it a question? Not exactly. So, John 16:13, it will guide you into what? All of the truth. Where was the truth? The Old Testament. You will now see what? All of the truth. So, look at Hebrews 2. Are you learning something here? Hebrews 2. Verse 6. But the Son of God is testifying, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou art made him a little lower than the angels. Thou art crowned him with glory and honor. And this set him over the works of thy hands. Now, that's contrasting because he had told you earlier that which of the angels said thee at any time. Now, saying a little lower than angels will let you see what he's talking about. That's put all things in subjection under his feet. Okay? For in that, okay, let's see the word. He said to testify, you've seen that, which is to give evidence. You've seen that earlier. For in that he put all in submission under him, he left nothing that is not under him. But now, pay attention. We see not yet all things put under him. Now, the writer is very careful. Verse 9 says, we see Jesus. He uses two different words. The first is oraho. Orao is the way I'm looking at you. Now, let me, we see not all things put under him. Let me look at someone who has, okay, let me look at you. I'm not saying, oh, I saw you in church. I saw you. Orao, I saw you. We see not. Then he says, but we see Jesus. So, look at me very well. The second word is blepo, where it says beware. That is why you cautiously look. That is, and I say, oh, what happened to your shirt? You change your hairstyle. So now I'm doing a blepo. Beware of false prophets. You know, you don't beware of false prophets. You look at it. No, this is beware of false prophets. You know? Look. Don't like. And say, beware of dog. When you see that, maybe you have entered the compound. That's a beware of dog. You must go out so that you will beware. You beware of dog. So you are now looking closely. So we do not see all things under him. Where? In the scriptures. Old Testament. He doesn't say we don't see all things under him. Looking at the wall, I don't see. But we what? We see Jesus. Are you there? So, we see Jesus carefully in that text. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. So that means we see that scripture in who? Is it clear? Christ. Okay. For the suffering of death. So that means the statement lower than the angels is for what? Suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor is resurrection. That he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the covenant of the salvation perfect through suffering. So the second scene will be an Emes. So through the Emes, through the Germanio, you are now able to explain what he was saying. Because what David was saying was prophetic. You have put all things under him. Under him. The same way Moses said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the works of the earth. You discover that that was never Adam. That was Christ. And so, do you notice that David said many things Moses said, but in a clearer way. Look at the way Moses talked about the rest in Genesis 2, verse 1 and 2. Satisfied the seventh day and he rested. And the rest was supposed to be for the people of God. So you see that David said things in a clearer way. So here again, this is to recount the man is in Christ. Hebrews 2:12. So based on that, both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. Again, this is from the Old Testament. Look at verse 12. Saying, I will declare thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing thy praise. This is Psalm 22. A student of the Bible knows that Psalm 22 verse 1 was a statement Jesus made on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? So, verse 22 will be, I will declare my name, thy name unto my brethren. By saying in the resurrection, by saying my brethren, what are you talking about? Prototokos. Are you there? Okay. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Psalm 18, verse 2. In whom I will trust. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. So obviously, many things David was saying that looked like he was talking about his present circumstances were actually eternal in nature. Am I saying, goodness gracious, follow me all days of my life? And you think he's talking about his earthly life? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Which is actually the word always. When he had not even built the temple. So, obviously, again, he's prophesying about himself anyway. So, go back to that Hebrews 2. No, Hebrews 2, verse 11. So, I'll declare the name of the brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing their praises upon his resurrection. Verse 13. And again, I'll put my trust in him. That's Psalm 18, verse 2. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. So, he's speaking it. He's cherry picking. I and the Lord, the children God has given me. That's Isaiah 8, verse 18. Which is identification. Children of the resurrection. So go to Psalm. That's Matthew 27, verse 46. My God, why have you forsaken me? I know we have said this before. Let's just go back again. Why have you forsaken me? This was spoken by David. Psalm 22, verse 1. But that was not all he said. In Luke 23, verse 43. No. Bob, go that. Look at that. John 19:30. It is what? So Jesus on the cross was speaking what in fulfillment of what had been said before. Are you there? Okay. So look at Luke 23.
Verse 43. I say unto you today, thou shalt be with me where?
In paradise.
So Jesus obviously was speaking about his resurrection on the cross. Verse 46. Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit. So obviously, he didn't end by saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? No.
That will be a man's interrogation about his state. Jesus said those words identifying with man. But Psalm 22 did not end there. Psalm 22 now ended further, proceeded further in that verse 22. I will sing your name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. So, that means Jesus, obviously, saying you will be with me to that guy, he is confirming Psalm 22, verse 22. Are you following what we're saying here? So, he picked the words of man's identification and his death, and again picked the words of his resurrection from the same psalmist. He cherry picked it from the same psalmist. He identified with man, and yet, go back to that Hebrews 2. I will declare your name, which is the word apagelo, apagello. It means to bring a report to. Obviously, he's talking about his resurrection. I will bring the report of my resurrection to you. Behold, I and the children the Lord has given me. He's not talking about your family. He's talking about the children of the resurrection, my brethren. Those who are born again. The church there is ecclesia, those who are called out. So, selectively, he picks words about himself. Not every word spoken by David, but words about eternal safety. Words about identification and sacrifice. Words about his resurrection. Which was the what? Sorry, the who and the what. So, the prophets gave words sufficient for the writers of the epistles to explain Christ beyond their experiences. So, in Matthew 22, verse 43, closing them, Jesus said that if he was his son, why did David in the spirit call him Lord? Look at the word, in the spirit. He called him Lord in the spirit. And they were confused. So we said the other day that that means that in the prophecies of David, we'll find the deity of Jesus and what else? His humanity. You will see the cries of a man and the hope found in God in those prophecies. And you know, also, the prophet also spoke judgment. He had this very well, though. Judgment means discernment. That is, they discern those who will not believe. Those that are, if somebody says that the unbelieving will be destroyed, it's not the Holy Ghost. Says, well, Jesus said it now. Jesus said the same thing. That he that believes shall not perish. He that believes not is already condemned. Are you there? So could the prophets have said that too? Yes. Are you getting this? That's the one I will not be able to dwell on this time around. The prophet could have said it. They did. Just like Isaiah. But there is no particular he who is picked out, and you don't have to fulfill it. Is it very clear? You don't have to fulfill it. Many prophecies can go unfulfilled. There must be a man corporation. When you see the word plero, ana plero or pleroma, there is a man corporation. Even the promises of God, which is an apagelia, something he will do by himself, it is still called fulfilled because he became a man to now walk fulfilled. That means he could have disobeyed. It's a choice. So it is in man to fulfill. Is that clear? Acts 2, verse 30. That should be my last text. Another. Acts 2, 30, verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day, therefore being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, and of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on the throne. He seen this before. Speak of the resurrection of Christ. So, did he see it? Did he know it? Okay, good. So, but did he have complete details? No. But he did. So, it wasn't an ignorant dispensation. If the Old Testament was as ignorant as some think, then there will be no New Testament. There will be no epistles. The New Testament becomes the closure of the Old Testament in the sense of the words that were said, the explanation of the things that they said, the clarity, and most importantly, the application to us today. So we take the words of the prophet as the things that God, alright, the words of the prophets about Jesus are the things that have been fulfilled today in Christ. I'll leave us with the words of the Enoch. I mean, look at the Enoch to see how the Old Testament was read. He was reading and he asked Philip, he said, "Oh, what is this prophet speaking about? Of himself or some other person?" Exactly what Peter said. They did not speak of themselves, but they revealed Jesus. He said, "No." And from that very scripture, he preached Christ to him. So, it means that in our study of the Old Testament, there's a, of who is he talking about? Is this about Israel? Is this about the present circumstance in Egypt? Is it about Babylon? Or is this about Christ? Is that very clear? So, there was a selective reasoning within the books of the Old Testament. So,